When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yes. A beautiful Friday morning. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Our buddy Ryan Rucco, 8:30 this morning, because tonight is the women's Final Four, which I know everyone is excited about. Men's Final Four is tomorrow, which I know many are certainly excited about. You were this close, Rick, this close from having me have a complete meltdown on the air today. So that's good. How are you,
wow,
by the way?
We did it. We did it.
Yeah, we got a win.
We did it. You did it. More importantly, you did it.
You know what I did?
I know exactly what you did.
Come on. I know when I gave you the hot take that you were like, well, it's not a scalding hot take, but that was a pretty good take yesterday.
No, it wasn't pretty good. Don't sell yourself short. It was 100% correct, that take yesterday.
Go ahead. Talk about it.
You said yesterday,
yeah,
out of nowhere, by the way, out of nowhere.
Right.
It just came to you, this
That's
epiphany,
right.
because
That's
this
right.
is your genius.
Exactly.
Or your condition, whatever your infliction, whatever right. you want to call it.
Or like somewhere in the middle. Like
somewhere
like
in the middle.
An epiphany because of the affliction.
It's like a baseball god spoke to you, and in your brain mm-hmm. came this. It's not even a hot take, because, I mean, it was so good. You said that in yesterday's doubleheader.
Right, second game.
Second game of the doubleheader. Jose Buto would go six and allow one earned run. Mm-hmm. And what did he do, my friends?
What did he do?
Loyal listeners of the show.
Yep.
That beautiful man went six.
Yep.
And gave up one earned run.
He sure did, which almost wasn't enough.
Almost. That's what happens when you go hitless for 13 innings.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you, I'm watching this yesterday. Mets up 3-0. And again, I know the Tigers were undefeated. I look
Stop
at that team.
It.
And that's
Stop
that's,
it.
That's, what?
Stop yourself. I know the Tigers were undefeated.
No, I'm saying, like, I know that their record was undefeated going at 4-0, right? But that's not a very good baseball team. And to go up 3-0, and then Ottavino giving up the home run, and then, I mean, yeah, 10th inning, you have guy on second, nobody out. All you have to do is push him across to win the game. You can't even get him past second base. And then you go into the next game, and you can't hit the baseball. I mean, thank God. Really, thank God Pete Alonso hit that ball out.
Thank God is right.
Oh.
I couldn't even imagine. I could not even imagine. And it ends up, I mean, they finally get their first hit. With a little bloop.
Yeah,
a little bloop
Bader.
Single by yep. Bader. But if they lost that one too, and we're sitting here now with no wins.
And
can you imagine being at that? Can you imagine being at Citi Field yesterday watching that?
No, because if you were there, you're one of like 11 people that were there. I mean, they're like those games. Like, did you see what it looked like at 5 o'clock in the morning when the game was in the 29th inning? Yeah, it looked like that. I mean, there was – I'm not even exaggerating. There's no way there were 1,000 people at that game yesterday.
You would be hard-pressed, man. I mean, it was
barren.
It was not well attended.
No. Well, and for a number of reasons, right? They weren't supposed to play. The weather had been brutal. The Mets stink. So all those reasons, I get them. But still, I mean, it was tough. You know what it was? The only reason I watched those games yesterday is because that was my team. I mean, If that was, I mean, if that's Kansas City and Oakland, not a thought goes through my mind to watch those baseball games yesterday.
No, there's no, I mean, why would you?
Well,
if you're not a fan of the Tigers and you're not a fan of the Mets, why would you watch those games yesterday?
Knew it. You wouldn't.
I mean, I get Detroit's undefeated, but I mean, the Mets hadn't won. They can't hit. There's no reason to watch that.
No reason to watch that. We'll get back to that. I want to, because I had all these emotions going through that. It's like I'm really starting to become furious with Lindor, because he not only is he just not producing, he looks like he doesn't belong on the field. Like, he looks absolutely lost.
Well, don't
right
limit
now.
It though. That's not fair though. Don't limit it to Lindor. I mean, Jeff McNeil has one hit.
Oh, McNeil.
And Nimmo has one hit.
Yeah, but at least Nimmo's on base a lot.
Okay, but he's still got one hit.
Oh, I agree. Listen, you're right. But okay, but when I look at those three guys, which one do I expect the production from the most?
Lindor. I mean, he's your highest paid player. He's supposed to be the best player on your team. I understand
that.
But he's known to get off the slow starts. I'm not absolving him of that.
Right. No, but you cannot afford it now.
No.
Like maybe a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, you won 100 plus games, you could afford it. Literally. And I don't think they have any great expectations anyway, but the season is teetering from spiraling out of control. You're this close from 0-6, and he can't do anything for you.
No, he's done nothing. I completely agree with you. And if this thing is going to be competitive, it's going to have to be because Francisco Lindor has a great season, and Pete Alonso has a great season. They have to. They absolutely have to. And then the decision in game one in the 10th inning, after you hold Detroit scoreless in the top of the 10th, let's have Brett Beatty. Let's have him bunt here because he looks so comfortable bunting.
Oh, brutal!
I mean, what are we doing?
Oh, it was grotesque. So, but the Mets, at least they salvage a win. They improve to 1-5, and you can take a breath. I received such a beautiful email that I wanted to read it before we get into the Knicks and a terrific win last night, and obviously the loss of Julius Randle. You ready for this?
I do love the beautiful email, yes.
And I'm glad you said that, because you will appreciate this. Please show this to Rick. This comes from Mikey Slattery. It's genuinely refreshing to hear someone in sports media who points out the BS. Rick is emotional, like the average fan, smart enough to actually give points of substance, does the work/research/watches the games, is very funny, and gives the player perspective. He's humble and grounded despite his immense success. Happy Friday to, in my opinion, the best sports talk show host out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what a way.
That's
what
right.
What a way to get that for you, being a great teammate, to get me going on a Friday morning.
Well, you know what? I think you could use it, and I don't disagree, and I think it's genuine from him, so why would I not read that to you? You say that website, for some reason, you keep saying that website provides brutal emails. No, it's what people feel, and they send it to the email of the website, and this guy feels like you are the cat's meow. Just unbelievable.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So that's
very
nice,
email.
Huh?
That's an amazing email.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So I think, I don't think he's alone in echoing those sentiments, and I wanted to bring that to your attention. Now, I get into my car yesterday. Doesn't it feel like everything huge around the world of sports seems to happen at 10 in the morning?
Right around there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere as we're walking out of the building, yeah. Or as I'm on the way to my car. That's not the news you wanted.
No, it's not the
especially
news you
wanted.
Especially
because what made it worse is that we cold called Ian.
Right.
Because I saw the report and I'm like, there's no way he could have had surgery at the end of January when he did this and been back for the playoffs. There was no chance.
No. Sounds like he probably should have had the surgery at the end of January.
No. He did the absolute right thing. Either way, he was getting the surgery.
He re-injured it, though.
No, he didn't re-injure it.
Yeah. He said he re-injured it during a practice.
No, no. It's not that he re-injured it. He got to the point, and now we didn't know. I guess there's a difference between, controlled contact and full contact. I don't know. Did you know that he was taking contact in practice, even though it was with pads?
No. Did I?
No.
No. I don't know anything. I never know anything with the Knicks. There is probably no team in all of sports that gives you less than the Knicks give you as far as injuries are concerned.
Right. So he's, I mean, as he's rehabbing this thing, trying to get, you know, his stability. So when he does eventually come back, he can take contact and everything else. They start using the pads, you know, takes a hit, doesn't respond well. And he said he was right back to where he, you know, when he first dislocated it, where it just felt unstable. And doctors told him you could do long-term damage here. So they gave it a couple months, see if he could get through it. He can't. And now, you know, you cross your fingers that OG comes back and he's great. But, I mean, not having an all-NBA player that averages...
It's crushing.
In, you know, right around 25 points and, you know, 10 rebounds a night is a problem.
And plays a physical brand of basketball and is an intimidating factor. I mean, it's absolutely crushing. Now, I will give this Knicks team credit because this is what they always do. You find out this really very upsetting news that you're one of your top... two players, I guess you'll say, right? One of your top two players out for the rest of the season. They come out. They look like they just heard the news before the game, the way they come out in the game. And then in typical Knicks fashion, all right, guys, let's ratchet up the fight and let's put our boots on and let's go take care of business. And they did. And they wound up winning that game comfortably last night against Sacramento.
Right. Well, they needed to. I mean, they had lost three straight. So, I mean, you don't have time, unfortunately, to feel bad for yourselves. Because they all understand what's at stake here. Like, they know how good this team can be if they have Julius and OG in the lineup. I mean, they were with Julius and OG in the lineup, they were 12-2.
Right. And there was a real thought of there's no reason this team doesn't go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right. Dude, everywhere you turned, as much as you were hesitant just because you're, like, you're sick of being hurt as a Knicks fan, like, people were paying attention. People were saying, like, outside of, obviously, Boston, is there a team in the East that could give Boston trouble? And people were saying the Knicks. Smart NBA people were saying the Knicks. Because of how good they looked with, you know, OG in that starting five. I mean, Julius this season kind of not settling for three, you know, for threes, getting to the bucket, physical. Like, and you take that with the MVP caliber, you know, performance that you're seeing from Jalen Brunson this season. You're like, okay, add some depth at the deadline. Bogdanović had a pretty good game last night.
I thought it was good last night. Yeah, I
right.
agree.
I mean, how about Hartenstein, your boy, just dishing. Nine assists
what
last night.
Nine assists?
Yeah, nine.
I you know, it's funny because I watched the game, and I love him, and I watched the game, and I was like, boy, he was really good, really good. And then I look at the stat line, and I'm like, oh, I thought he, like, nine assists is amazing, but what do you have, seven rebounds? Like, I was surprised that his numbers were so limited, but I thought he had a big impact on the game last night. He's a tough guy, too.
He's a tough guy. Yeah, at one point it looked like he hurt his neck, but he battled through it. Yeah, you got to give him tons of credit, man, because they couldn't afford to drop that game. The Kings came out, I mean, first 15 minutes of that game, Kings are up 21 points. They shot 68%. Knicks answered back with a 16-2 run. Then you get to the fourth quarter. Knicks gave up. Kings scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. But between, I mean, Josh Hart, dude, I mean, you want – Jalen Brunson is awesome. He's your best player. But it the heart – and so, like, even to the point, like, at the end of the game when you saw him come out, they subbed him out so people could cheer for him.
Yep.
Jalen Brunson's dad stood right up on the bench like, well done, man.
Well, because he's a warrior. I mean, he plays
over 40. He gave you 31 last night. 31, 9, and 8 last night.
And he gives you so much effort. Like, that. Like, really, that's all the Knicks fan, the New York fan really wants, right? Of course you want to win. That goes without saying. You want to win, and that's the ultimate goal. But along the way, there are certain kind of checkpoints that you need to meet. And the question about every player, does he go out there and give you every single ounce of everything he has every night? And the answer for Josh Hart is yes. So, of course, this fan base is going to fall in love with him. I mean, you acquired him, and you're like, oh, he'll be a nice addition. Like, that's a nice piece. You didn't expect this, where the guy's going for triple-doubles all the time and is giving you 31 points, and, you know, you're bringing him out at the end of the game to standing ovations. Nobody anticipated that. He wasn't that level of player in the NBA before the Knicks got him.
No, he's in the perfect spot. I talk about it all the time we talk NFL draft, and I say, you know, players being in the right spot, how big a deal that is. Josh Hart given this opportunity, this role on this team with a couple of his best friends, I mean, you're seeing the result.
Right. So, listen, they come back, they win the game. Obviously, people are distraught that Randall's out for the year, myself included, because, I mean, I don't have to say it every time that I don't love him, but I know how necessary he is to the success of this team. If OG comes back, and we'll throw this around and we'll get your guys' opinion, 1-800-919-3776. So I'm assuming, and they're saying he's getting closer, OG, to returning. Where where can this Knicks team go? Like, what is a realistic expectation? And don't answer it now. We'll get into it in a couple minutes. What is a realistic expectation of this Knicks team knowing where they are right now? Let me run through the Eastern Conference quickly. So you're not going to get the one that's done, that's Boston. You're not going to get the two that's most likely done, that's Milwaukee.
You're only a couple games back of the two.
I know, but you've played six games left and you're two games back. So odds of catching them are unlikely, right?
Yep.
Very unlikely. So three, now here's where it gets real. Three is Cleveland at 46-31. Four is Orlando, 45-31. Five, the Knicks, also 45-31. So you have six games to play. You play the Bulls with three times in the final six games, which is really unbelievable, starting tonight. You can get the three, you can get the four, you can get the five. I would say with a three-game lead in the loss column, you're probably not going to fall to the six at this point. You agree?
You want the three or the six.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to fall to the six.
Right, so I want the three then.
Okay, so then you want to, I mean, so then this game
especially
against Chicago
now.
Tonight is very meaningful for you.
Well, especially now, man. I mean, seriously, like Donovan Mitchell's dealing with a knee in, I mean, he's said, I'm not as explosive with this injury.
That's right.
I would rather play, I mean, not that we would play them, but I would rather that three seed and avoid, especially with no Julius Randle having to play, you know, if we ever got to the Eastern Conference Finals, Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals as opposed to the second round.
I agree.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
RJ, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Dave. How are you?
I'm. You know what? I'm fine. I'm a little disturbed about this whole Julius Randle situation, but I'm fine. It's a Friday, and I'm fine. But you didn't give me any heads up that we have that hotel chain back at 657 this morning.
Mm. The one with the questionable name.
It's not questionable. I just was uncertain how to pronounce it. And you guys sat back and said nothing as I read it last time until it was over, and then you jumped me.
I thought this was good.
Did you know it was La Quinta?
I thought that was good.
No, you did not.
You're right.
No, you did not. So rather than, you know, you hear me say La Quinta and say, like, hey, Dave, before you continue along, it's La Quinta. No. Read it all the way through, and then when it's over, like you're walking out of an establishment, we put a bag over your head and take you into a van. Now we jump you.
Did you know it's La Quinta?
I didn't stop you mid-read. I waited till you were done, huh?
Yeah.
It's because I have supreme confidence in you.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
You know that I'm sitting there soiling myself. And rather than be like, hey, buddy, listen, you're saying it wrong. Or like a hand signal, like I stop, I say, what? You're like, it's La Quinta, not La Quinta. No, that doesn't exist. What exists is let him go all the way through, say the whole read, walk through the name of the hotel chain 4 or 5 times, and then once he's done with that, jump him.
Yeah, but Andy Reid doesn't jump in mid-play when Patrick Mahomes goes off script, you say, you know what? I have a lot of faith in him. Let's let this play out. Bill Walsh
should.
Bill Walsh didn't jump in for Joe Montana.
Okay, but here's the thing. Unless Andy Reid's going to take off his shirt and start running on the field, how is he going to get involved mid-play from the sideline when they turn off the headset?
Well, that's how we view your reads.
Uh-huh.
We can't just jump in.
Mike Tomlin tried it. Remember Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, he tripped a guy.
Trip a guy.
Well, maybe you should have done that. You should have walked over and tripped me.
Listen, that's how we view how sacred we view your reads. I mean, they don't always go as planned.
To make sure your tailgate doesn't... No.
but there's a lot of greatness that comes from this.
He short-circuited there.
Yeah, I fell apart. If you're not worried... It was written that way. That's why I read it like that. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Yeah, that's great.
RJ, give me the tailgate one more time.
To make sure your tailgate doesn't... No.
No. Are you sure? Are you sure that's not the read?
So make sure your tailgate doesn't... No. Yeah.
We've all been there.
No.
You've never been there.
I mean, I said this.
That got us two other free breakfasts.
I also said this. Yeah. So after the Buffalo Bills lost last night.
That's good.
He also said Juliette yesterday.
Juliette.
Listen, wait till you see Juliette out there on the mound.
Yeah, but let me ask you this now. He says Juliette. Were we quiet and said, let's let him say this numerous times and then later on in the show correct the Juliette? No.
You were like, you know what? We're going to make fun of him immediately.
No, we're like, let's jump him now so that at least we get this over with and this propaganda doesn't continue.
No.
Propaganda for who?
Promote Juliette.
Yeah, but it's his stuff you missed. This was a read that was being paid for by La Quinta. I don't want to interrupt it. Till afterwards.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say, and I'll say this once, so we'll get back to the next situation. If I'm messing up, incapable, it's not happening, help me.
Okay, where were you yesterday when I had a meltdown during the read?
What meltdown did you have?
Well, I picked up the wrong line and then I got all screwed up.
Well, where's the audio of that?
See?
He's going to be back soonly after that.
Yeah.
The great thing about that is I don't think the words came out of your mouth. Like enough hit the airwaves and immediately I was like, RJ, get that now.
All right, so I'm gonna cuddle, start, trash, marry, done with the Jets.
you called some guy yesterday, Dave.
Yeah, that was good.
His name wasn't Dave.
No, I called him Dave. His name was Tom.
I'm Dave.
I am.
I know.
All right, Dave, I love you, and you call often, and you're a good caller.
Tom. But it's not Dave. It's Tom.
That's what I meant. Yeah. I'm Dave.
What's incorrect about that? I am Dave.
Glad we got that straightened out.
I wish we could just isolate when he says, I'm Dave.
Wait, what do you mean you wish he could? You don't think he can?
Yeah, I wish I just give it as a suggestion. I don't want to tell him to do it. I'm just putting it into his mind.
The great thing is, listen, I love you, Dave.
You call all the time.
Right, you call all the time. You're a great caller. I love you, Dave. It's like, you're like, no, isn't it? He's Tom.
It's Tom. Yeah. I'm Dave.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I'm Dave. All right, 1-800-919-3776. So Randall out for the year. Terrific win. Really holding out hope for that 3 seed because you're half a game back of that spot right now. In action tonight in Chicago, needing a win. 1-800-919-3776. How good can it be? I'll ask you. We'll get to the callers. How good can it get? Let's just say the Knicks are the 4 or 5. Orlando, first round. What do you think?
I think you could beat Orlando.
Okay. So Orlando round one on to Boston. And also I have to give you this because we don't really know about this either. You're going to have OG back and he's going to be close to fully healthy.
Yeah. It sounds like they feel like he'll be back, but they don't want to, you know, God forbid, risk irritating it again before the playoffs start.
Right.
Which is, I thought, what they would do with Julius, but
they couldn't.
When the doctor tells you that you could do long-term damage to yourself. And you're not going to be the same guy. I mean, the only option is to get the surgery.
Yes, that is correct. So what do you think? How good can it be?
I think they can win the first round series.
I agree.
And I think that's probably it.
All right, so let me give you a different scenario. Knicks move up to the 3. They host. Well, let me look and see who's
check,
the Sixers.
Check out the Sixers schedule. I just looked through those last. I looked through the Pacers, the Heat, and the Sixers. Sixers just beat the Heat. Maxie went nuts last night.
Right.
The only good they have of their remaining games, they have one good team left.
That's it. So you know it would be really troubling.
And they're only a game right now out of six.
What would be really, really troubling
is if they move up to
the six.
Yeah.
So would you Would you rather get the three, play the Sixers, and then no Milwaukee in round two if you get by Philly, or the four Orlando, and then Boston's waiting in the wings?
I would probably rather the four at that point. I actually may still prefer the four. I would rather play, I think, Orlando with home court, because I don't even think I don't see them beating Milwaukee or Boston.
So now you think Milwaukee has sailed?
Not that they've sailed. I just think Milwaukee's a better team.
And right now, but I'm saying the hope of realistically beating Milwaukee has, in your opinion, has sailed.
I think it has.
Okay. So then it's all about setting yourself up for the best option in round one.
Do you disagree?
No. No, I agree with you. But here's the thing. You don't know what's going to happen. So here's the Sixers schedule. They're at the Grizzlies.
Yep.
At the Spurs. Home to the Pistons, which couldn't be easier.
Right, and they got the Magic. That's the only tough team.
Right, home to the Magic, which is a really good game, and home to the Brooklyn Nets. So you got to figure, so it's 5 games left. There's no way they don't go at a minimum 3-2, but much more realistically, at least 4-1.
Yeah, with a chance to go 5-0.
A very good chance to go 5-0 because you host Orlando.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then Miami actually plays the Pacers. So Miami's got the Rockets in Houston, Pacers in Indiana. They got the Hawks on the road. Then they got Dallas at home, and they finish up with two against Toronto at home.
But Toronto's awful.
Yeah, but that's a tougher schedule than Philly's schedule.
Right. So, no, I would rather the 4-5 Orlando, Indiana, then I would prefer the 3 and Philadelphia. I don't want that.
Yeah, you know what? It's so hard to sit here and even talk about this just with how hard this team fights, how resilient this team has been. I have a hard time thinking that once we get to the playoffs, you know, you played a Miami team that's starting to, you know, round themselves into playoff form. It's a different level. It is. The playoffs are going to be a different level. And without Julius Randle, I mean, he's your second best player. He's he's consistently a guy that the other team has to worry about defensively.
Yes. And you put him as a 1-2 punch with Jalen Brunson, and now you're talking. But could you not envision this, my friend? Could you not see a repeat of last season? Knicks are the 3. Milwaukee plays Miami in round 1. And Miami wins that series.
I wouldn't put anything past Miami.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, I mean, again, what we thought last year after we won the first round series.
That we were going to beat Miami.
And that we're going to beat Miami.
Right.
And you undersell how good, you know, Jimmy Butler and this Miami team coached by Spoelstra is in the playoffs.
I really did.
And
I,
now they added Terry.
Gabe Vincent. And
right. Now they have Terry Rozier, too, who killed us.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
From brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that big win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See, we're, that doesn't go anywhere. I don't get, like, really nice read, good job. But if I stumble at any point during that read, now it gets brought up for the next, I don't know, infinity. How's that fair?
Well, it is fair because we just expect that you're going to be perfect every time.
No, but how is that fair?
Well, because we talk about things that we don't expect. Like, hey, no one expected to see a line brawl when New Jersey played the Rangers, and that's all anyone talked about. Leading shows with it.
Right. Well, I think necessarily, too, was a big deal.
So you don't want to mention that the Islanders won last night or now in the playoffs, or no?
I was just about to, if you would give me a moment.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I said, by the way, and you were like, oh, you don't want to mention this?
I can't help that we think the same things, all right? I don't know you're going to say
so,
that.
So Islanders lead 1-0, 1-1. Columbus, game they have to win. Lead 2-1, 2-2. Lead 3-2, hold on to it, score another one 4-2. Your Islanders, as we get down to the nitty-gritty of the NHL season, right now, not only are they in, but if me looking at things correctly is accurate, would take on who in round one?
That would be your New York Rangers.
That's right. My New York Rangers, who pretty much take a stranglehold on the division last night. You agree with that? With Boston beating Carolina in a 5-point lead with the tiebreaker?
Yeah, right now I think the question is to whether you finish first in the East or, I mean, Boston's got what, 105, you got 106?
Boston has 105. Boston, I think, has played 77 games. Rangers are 106. They've played 76 games. So you're a point ahead with a game in hand and the tiebreaker as well.
Could you imagine that first round series if we played you guys?
I don't want you guys in the first round. Not that I don't think the Rangers can win the series, because I think they could, and in fact, I think they would. But because,
well, they should,
and I think that they should. Of course, you should. I mean, you right now you have the President's Trophy against a team that's barely sneaking into being into the playoffs. But what that series takes out of you, because we talk about it all the time, right? How hard winning four rounds in the NHL postseason is. So think about that. You'd hope that your first series would be an easier series against a team that really can't compete with you. And the Islanders, A, that I don't think they're a pushover by any stretch. B, that you're going to finish that series. You're going to know you're in a long, drawn-out series, I think. I don't want any part of it.
You're absolutely right. You're going to be in a fist fight.
Yep. I don't want any part of it. You think that's wimpy of me?
No. I think you want to set yourself up with the best chance to get to the Stanley Cup final.
I mean, Washington in round one or Detroit in round one. I think the Rangers would comfortably win those series.
You have a tougher road if you have to play the Islanders. Imagine that? Sorokin versus Shesterkin. Patty Wah going up against Peter Laviolette, who tried to fight Travis Green.
Yeah, that was great.
That'd be great.
I can see it. So let me just see if I'm correct now.
Poor Toronto, by the way.
Why?
Toronto gets stuck in a division where they got to play. It's like, hey, gotta try to get through Boston in the first round, and now we gotta try to get through the Panthers in the first round.
Does it matter? They never get through the first round anyway.
It's brutal, though. That's why, though.
But you know what? At some point, that's an immensely talented team. At some point, you're gonna have to figure out a way to get by round one.
I understand that. It's just that's tough. That's tough sledding.
That's tough sledding. So, I want to hear this out of your mouth. And RJ, roll on this, please, would you? I want to hear you say, "I'm rooting for the Rangers tonight."
I'm rooting for the Rangers tonight to beat the Detroit Red Wings.
That's right.
Yep.
So Rangers lose this game, you're very upset.
Yeah, I would be upset.
Yeah, I understand.
I need us in round one. I need it.
You need it.
I badly.
So the thing is, all you have to do is get in, because there's no hope that the Islanders pass Tampa. None.
Well, no. Don't say that, because there's a chance we could end up playing Carolina. We could finish third in the Metro.
That's right. Because Philly has really struggled. You're right.
Because Philly's got 83. We got 83.
So would you prefer that? Or you want the Rangers?
No, I would prefer to play you guys.
You want the Rangers.
Yeah.
This is
absolutely
so. Philly 83, Islanders 83, Washington 82, Detroit 82, Pittsburgh 81. And that's for two spots. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams within 2 points of each other for two spots.
That's right.
That's good.
Well, yeah, and we're also, I mean, you still got, so Washington and the Islanders still have, they have the chance to be the wild card or
third. The third in the Metropolitan.
In the Metro, yeah.
Right. So what's locked away? Tampa, well, now you can't even say that because Tampa could catch Toronto.
Yeah, well, they're a playoff. They're going to be in the playoffs, yeah. Tampa is firmly in the playoffs.
Right. Boston's in, Florida's in, Rangers in, Carolina in, Toronto's going to get in, Tampa's going to get in, and now we wait and we see. Philly, right. 83, Islanders, 83, Washington, 82, Detroit, 82, Pittsburgh, 81. That is something, huh?
Yeah, let's take a, RJ, I'm rooting for the Sabres again. It's like almost every other night I'm rooting for the
Washington?
Sabres. No, the Sabres are playing Philly.
Oh, and they got another one against the Caps, too, I think.
Oh, they do. Their last game in the season is against
the Caps. Imagine the Sabres won out and somehow
RJ,
snuck
I'd kiss you right on the lips.
Imagine that.
I mean, you've done that before at Brown Shirt, so.
Yeah, but I would that's probably part of your tongue, too.
So let me see if I understand this now. Sabres beat the Capitals. You walk in, and you give RJ like a real deep, passionate, wet kiss.
Deep.
I think I'd have to call out that day.
No, come on. Some of us don't even call out.
Well, is this really where you want to go?
No, I'm just saying, RJ, I wouldn't give you the full tongue treatment. I'd kind of like, you know, the one where it's like kind of like the tip of your tongue just in, just around the...
What happens if RJ, like, is like, oh, this is so
what
good,
if he likes
he just,
it?
He opened.
What if he likes it?
Yeah.
What if I'm the reason?
Now, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
You walk home from work, RJ. You walk in.
This could go a lot of ways.
You walk into the like you open. Ange like, hey, RJ. You're like, hey, Ange. What's the matter? Rick is so excited by the Islanders' help from the Sabres that he walks up to you, holds your face on either side with two hands. You see what I'm doing, Rick? With two hands, leans in and just kisses you passionately. A, do you tell Ange this happened? B, have you cheated on Ange?
That's a great question. It depends on if he felt something. RJ, if I came in that studio and I got down on my knees so we're eye level and I grabbed your face.
You know, I may root against my own team. You know what? We're going to be mathematically eliminated. I think I have to root for the Capitals.
That could really have a negative effect on our relationship, though, if I find out you're rooting for the Capitals.
Well, you just said you got to get it down on your hands and knees to look them in the eye.
Oh, I didn't say hands and knees.
Oh, right. My mistake. On your knees to look them in the eye.
You're making it worse.
Right. RJ, he's down on the ground. So, do you tell her?
I think I have to.
She become angry with you.
I think I have to tell her. And B, I don't know that she'd be shocked, but I think she would. I think she'd feel a way about it. Because, I mean, that's something that, whether you meant it or not, like Dave said, what if something happens?
What if we fall in love?
Then we'd have to keep it secret. Then
what happens if you guys both see, like, fireworks off to the side?
I think we'd have to agree, you know what? If there's an event down the road where the Sabres help the Islanders, we should both be separate the next day. We can't handle this.
RJ, I can't be in studio today. It's just there's too much heat.
John's like, "What? Why? Why do you need all of us?" And we can't tell you. We just
can't
do.
Tell you.
Yeah, this is a real concern now.
Yeah,
because let's be honest, RJ, you walk in and you say, "Cassie grabbed me by the cheeks and pulled me in, and we had a deep, passionate kiss." You've cheated on your wife, correct?
That's right.
All right. So isn't it the same if you do it with Rick?
Yeah, but I think that one can be explained away. Like, listen, it was a sports moment of passion.
That was fun.
A sports moment. So you walk in, you're like, listen, it was a moment of passion. Pack your things and get out of here. But if you say it was a sports moment of passion.
Different.
Oh, RJ, what do you want for dinner tonight?
Well, I think you have to explain.
Can I make the meatloaf?
Like, what do you mean sports moment of passion? Well, the Sabres won.
See, she'd understand because the Sabres don't win a lot.
They really don't.
I think what we're finding out here is RJ's a little bit of a sports floozy is what he is.
Oh, really?
I think he might be. Well, you see what happened. Here's what I'm worried about. I give Brownshire one kiss. I mean, you see him popping up in the studio now all the time.
Every day he's offering like weird pieces of gum and
Don't you speak poorly about the gum?
What do you mean?
You're right. Maybe he's just looking for reasons. It's like in high school.
Yeah.
Like when you look to take the detour to your class. Like, oh, Tiffany, what are you doing here?
He has no reason to walk into our studio in the 9 o'clock hour.
I think he even gets here earlier now.
Right. So he shows up earlier. He makes sure to peek his head in, and now he's bringing treats.
So you asked about me and Rick. I mean, listen, the pregame party is coming back.
May 2nd, that's right.
I mean, I imagine Brownshire's going to be there.
Well, maybe he shouldn't be.
You don't know what could happen.
No, you're right. I don't know. And not only do I not know, what's happened in the past leads me to believe it wouldn't be appropriate.
Right, but that was another one of those sports moments, though. I was excited. I was happy. I mean, what are the chances the Mets give that to me?
So you have it's like you took Cass, right?
Yep.
And it was with the understanding of Cassless, I'm going to be faithful in every single aspect of life. But if there's a big sports moment, now I might kiss other people.
I might kiss Mike Brownshire, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't think she was thrilled.
Well, I don't blame her for that.
Well, but in fairness to me, though, I mean,
what, you're going to say her dad was policing it and did nothing?
I was under the supervision of her dad.
Well, she could be upset with both of you guys then.
But I had him so mangled he fell asleep.
So all her closest people are now, right, her closest person in the world is kissing other people, and her second closest person in the world is watching it happen.
Is letting it happen.
That's great.
And then sleeping and at the dinner
great.
Table.
Right. Oh, boy. All right. And on top of all of it, the concern at these events is make sure Dave doesn't drink too much. Right?
Oh, I can't wait for May 2nd.
May 2nd is going to be good. All right, let's get to the calls on the Knicks. Let's go to Alex in Roslyn. Hi, Alex. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's going on, bud?
So, in regards to Randall's injury, with shoulder dislocations, and I'm in the profession, you don't come back from that injury right away. It takes, especially for him, he requires a high demand of, athleticism. He plays hard. You know, he takes probably 200 shots at practice, if not more.
Yeah, but it's not his shooting arm.
Right, but
it's still, the contact he's going to take on the arm. Yeah, it has nothing to do with how many shots. Yeah,
Alex, when you say you're in the profession, tell us a little more.
I'm an orthopedic PA, and I deal with dislocations all the time in the ER. And usually patients, they'll go back to work with just a sling in about a couple of weeks, a month, but they're not athletes. So a player like Randall, who is very physical, I would think would take a longer time to rehab. And I'm a little surprised they didn't do surgery right away. I guess they probably want to see a non-surgical option first, but he wouldn't come back right away regardless. I mean, he'll come back one or two games and then that's it. His shoulder's going to be sore again. So that's probably what happened.
Well, Alex, thank you for your expert opinion there. It's not a question of whether or not he'd be sore. Of course he's going to be sore. It's whether or not the shoulder's going to hold up.
Right. And
if he's not
going to
do long-term, if he's going to do something to his shoulder that they can't fix.
Right. Well, you hear all the time, right, from teams that come out, the training staff, medical staff comes out and says, or the player will say, as long as I can't do any more damage, even if I'm going to be in pain, I'm going to push through it because I want to be out there. And you know that he wanted to be out there. And you know it kills him to not be able to, because of all the people that don't like him, no one can deny that this guy is a warrior and wants to be out there. Whether you like his game or not, you can't deny that he is desperate to win and wants to be out there, right? So, but you hear all the time, well, as long as you're going to do no further damage. But we crossed that pantheon with this now. It crossed to the point where there was a chance that this was going to have long-term repercussions, and the smart, prudent move is to shut it down and not play for the rest of the year and undergo the surgery.
Right, going through 2 months or whatever it ended up being. It was January 27th, he gets hurt, of rehab, trying to strengthen the thing and, practice, keeping your cardio up, maybe some light contact with pads and everything else, wasn't going to do irreparable damage to his shoulder.
That wasn't going to do it. So if we could get through this and it was strong enough that by the end, you know, as we get close to the end of the season, you can come back and your doctors, the specialists, don't feel like, first of all, they feel like it's stable enough. You feel like it's stable enough. And they tell you, hey, listen, even if you pop it out again, fine, we'll go. Like, now we're going to need surgery anyway. Not going to do any long-term damage. We'll go in, fix it. You'll be ready for next season. Then, yeah, you'll probably say to yourself, what the hell? I'll try, see how long it lasts, and then if it pops out again or whatever ends up, you know, happening, then I'll get the surgery. But they sounds like they told him, no, no, no. You come back, your style of play with how unstable this thing is, you could do, there's nerves involved here, you could do damage for the rest of your career. Then that's different. This is not, that's not a pain thing. That's a legit injury.
Right. Absolutely. Stamatis Astoria. We love you, Stamatis. Good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Friday to you both.
Same to you.
Thank you. I'm calling, obviously, the same sentiments you've been sharing all morning. Depression midday, more depression down 21, doubt down 21, pleasantly surprised, you know, when they came back. You know, I didn't think they were going to pull that through, to be honest with you, and I shouldn't feel that way because they always come through. But that's that. Now, the thing I want to touch on with you guys were talking about was who we do want and don't want in the rounds. Personally, I don't want anything to do with Orlando. I know it sounds silly because, like, of the teams out there, that's the one that you think you'd want. But sometimes there's teams that just got your number, and I think Orlando's that team. I'm sure Rick could attest to it. There's sometimes teams that you know you're better than, but then when the game's over, you lose, and you're like, what the hell just happened? You know what I mean? I think that's Orlando for us this year. Like, the Rangers with Tampa Bay all the time. It's just one of those teams I don't want anything to do with. And just wanted your take on that.
I think you're good. I like your calls. I don't agree. I'm not fearful at all of Orlando. I think they're a young team. I think, you know, they're clearly getting better, and they may be a major problem down the road. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not remotely worried. You give me Orlando in a best of seven, I'll take my chances with or without Julius Randle.
Yeah, you give me Orlando with OG back, I like my chances.
Yeah.
For the reasons you just said. And one of the reasons why teams, you know, Rangers, I don't care who the team is, struggles with a team like Tampa is because, you know, they have really good players, but they also have a team that's been there, done that, knows how to win. They have a coach that's been there, done that, knows how to win. Like, that's, and this is the truth. You can believe it if you want. Like, that whole, Wayne Gretzky talked about this in his book, right? When they walk by, you know, they walk by the Islanders locker room, and they expect to see Islanders, you know, popping beers, celebrating, and they're all sitting around icing things up. Like, you have to learn to lose before you can learn how to win. Like, you got to, there are things that have to happen for you to get to that point. And I think the experience for the Knicks last year, too, and what they went through, right? I mean, winning a first-round series, having Julius hobbled, Jalen carrying us through a tough six-game series, that stuff, I mean, that experience is going to pay off for them. And you also heard, I mean, Orlando talking about how, you know, a different level of physicality that the Knicks bring. That's going to be tough to deal with. And you're talking about a seven-game series. You're going to have to beat, Orlando's going to have to beat the Knicks four times.
That's right. And hopefully the Knicks will, it'll go through the garden, right? I know that Orlando's gotten the better of the Knicks during the regular season, but we talk about this all the time. Playoffs are different, right? So if playoffs are different for the Knicks in a negative, then playoffs have to be different for a Knicks in a positive when it rings true. And I think Orlando has never been there before. This you know, regime of Orlando has never been there before, has never been through those battles. And hopefully those battles go four times in New York and three times in Orlando, if that's your opposition.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't believe. I mean, I just remember the last time we played Orlando, we beat them. And I remember them saying after the game that there's, like, the level of physicality is something that they're going to have to get used to as they get ready for the playoffs, and that's what the Knicks bring.
It could come back to bite me in the butt, but I'm not worried about Orlando or Cleveland in the first round.
Well, listen, I mean, because I don't think you're wrong. I mean, you saw what we did to Cleveland, especially now with Donovan Mitchell compromised.
And I think the Knicks are better this year.
And I'm assuming that OG's coming back.
Oh, he better come back.
It'd be a tough, especially if he's going to want big time money.
Right. Well, that's the thing too. He's in a contract year.
Yeah, for big. I mean, if he wants, listen, you can't argue the results when he plays. But if he wants, you know, something in the ballpark of 4 years, $150 million,
you better play.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.